12. Mark chapter 12, please. Mark chapter 12, if you'd stand, please, for the reading of God's word. All right, Mark chapter 12 and verse number 28 is where we're going to begin reading tonight. Mark chapter 12, verse number 28, the Bible says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. But to love him, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you again for the opportunity that I get to stand up here and, God, to preach to these people. I pray that, God, that you would speak to our hearts, God, in a special way tonight, God. These people don't need to hear me, Lord. They need to hear you. And God, I pray that you would get me out of the way. And I pray that, God, you would speak tonight in a very unmistakable way, God, that when we walk out tonight, that, God, we didn't just have a service, but, God, you met with us. And, God, I pray that you would do that for us tonight, God. I pray that, Lord, as the song mentioned, Lord, that you would draw us nearer, God. We need to be closer to you, God. I mean, every one of us can improve, and every one of us can get closer to you. And, God, help us not to just settle for the status quo and for, well, we're doing all right, God. We need to do better. God, we don't know how much time we may have left on this earth, God, and you've given us this life. And God, we want to lift you up with it. I pray in the service tonight that, God, you would be high and lifted up, God, and when you're lifted up, God, you'll draw all men unto yourself. And God, I pray that you would bless me and give me the help and strength that I need tonight, God. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your spirit, Lord, and focus me on the scripture. And God, help these people tonight, Lord. I'm glad they came out. And God, you brought them here for a reason, not just to go through the motions, God, but to speak to them and to give them something and to help them be more what you want them to be. And God, I pray, God, that you would do that tonight. Again, Lord, we want to hear you speak. God, I pray your word would have free course in our lives tonight. God, if there's anything that's holding it back, I pray that, God, you would bring it to our minds and we get it confessed and out of the way so that, God, we can receive the truth, the word from you tonight. God, thank you for this privilege. And God, I want to, again, just lift you up tonight. Give you all the praise and honor and glory, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being a great God to us, Lord, a God that we don't deserve, God, and a God that does all these things for us each and every day, even though most of the time we don't even stop to think about them or to appreciate them. God, thank you for all that you do. Bless this night. Please meet with us in a unique way, a special way tonight, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're all very familiar, but the Bible, just in case you've forgotten, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Bible also says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Bible says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, in that God sent his only begotten Son that we might live through him." The Bible also says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." The love of God is so clearly and unmistakably portrayed for us on the pages of Scripture. It's all throughout. You can't read very far in the Gospels. You can't go very far in the New Testament, or the whole Bible for that matter, without seeing God's love for us. Listen, it's God's love for us that sent his Son down to this earth. It's God's love for us that provoked Jesus to lay down his life for our sins. It was his love for us. And it's so clearly seen on every page of the Word of God. But that love that saved us, that love that sent Christ to Calvary, and that love that had him hang there for 6 hours between the earth and the sky on a cross made of wood, that love should now motivate us. That love should now be that driving force in our lives so that we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. That love should now be the motive. That love should now be the driving force. That love should now be the fire, the impetus, the fuel, the spark that we need to live for God and to put Him first in our lives. Sometimes, I'll just be honest with you, sometimes I look around at some Christians and I'm thinking, it seems like they never have a reason to serve God. It seems like they never have a reason to get involved. It seems like they always got an excuse, or they always got to be doing something else, or they always got to be somewhere else. And, well, I'll get around to it one day. And I don't know about you. I'm not trying to judge anybody tonight, but I look at the crucifixion. I look what Jesus took for me. Last week in my class, I was preaching about when Jesus was on trial and some of the soldiers were mocking Him and having some fun with Him. And they blindfolded Jesus and they hit Him and smacked Him. And they said, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And you think about what He took for us. Almighty God in the flesh sitting there allowing those foolish Roman soldiers to do such a thing to Him. When any moment of time, if He wanted to, He could have obliterated them all. Like that if He wanted to. But you know why He didn't? You and me. That's why. He didn't want to throw it all away. He realized that He was going to have to take some cruelty. He realized that He was going to have to take some harshness. But you know why He did that? He did that for us. And folks, again, I look at those things and I want to do something for Him. I want to give my life back to Him. Listen, I'm not perfect, anything close to it. But I want to do something for Him after all He's done for me. And I hope you have that same burning desire in your heart. But we should love Him because He first loved us. Listen to me. That's the ultimate goal. You hear me? That's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is not for you to necessarily just get the right clothing, although I believe that's important. But it's not so you can just fit in socially with Woodlawn Baptist Church. It's not so you can just learn the Christian jargon and the Christian lingo so you can walk around and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm blessed. How about you? It's not about that. It's not about just learning how to talk or how to dress. It's not about just learning to fit in with the crowd around here and just kind of go along with the flow. The ultimate goal for every single one of us, whether everybody knows your name, whether you have a lot of friends in this church or not, the ultimate goal is for you and for me to love Him. That's what it's all about. That's what the motivation is. That's what the drive is. Listen, if you serve God for any other reason besides your love for Him, it'll run out of energy sooner or later. You know why? Because I've been there. I've done it before. And we try to do it for all these other reasons besides that we love Him and it runs out of steam. It runs out of energy. But you know the thing? The Bible, it is our ultimate goal. The Bible talks about in 1 Timothy how the end or the point of the whole commandment, the whole Bible, is charity out of an unfeigned heart. Basically, it's saying the whole point of everything we preach and everything we teach and everything the Bible says is so that we love God with all our heart. That's the whole point of it. That's what it all drives to. That's what it's all aiming at. But you know something? Often, I would say it's hard to measure your love for God. I don't know if you would agree with me, but I would say it's often hard to measure our love for God. I know in my life, I played baseball from the time I was 6 till 21 years old. I knew if I had put in a good day's work on the ball field, Willie. I knew by walking off the field whether I had really worked hard or whether I was just kind of going through the motions, half-stepping, whatever, didn't really care. I knew. I could tell physically, bodily, when I walked off that field, if I was tired, I knew I put some work in that day. I knew I was trying to get better. But I knew if I walked off the field and I was still had energy and all that, I should have kicked it up a little bit more. I also think sometimes, you know, in school, studying different things, working hard at different things, and, you know, sometimes you really exhaust yourself and you work hard mentally. And I mean, you're working on a paper or a project, or you're working on something that you need to study that maybe you're not very familiar with. And I mean, you have to rack your brain to figure this thing out. You know, you can tell whether you put in a lot of work or not. You can tell whether you're really going after it or not. And I'm sure for most of you at your jobs or whatever the case may be, if it's manual labor or whatever it may be that you do, I'm sure you pretty much know whether you put in a good day's work or maybe if you were slacking a little bit. You know, often in the Christian life, it's hard to tell. You say, Tom, why do you say that? Well, I know what you're thinking. You say, Bible says if you love Jesus, keep His commandments, right? I mean, if you love Him, do what He says. And that's true. It's in the Bible. However, you realize we can do all the right things, but with the wrong heart. We can go through all the outward motions. Hey, folks, I've done it before. I preached not loving God like I should. I've been on the bus route before not loving God like I should. I'm not ashamed. I'm not happy about it. I'm ashamed of it. I don't want to be like that. I've gone out visiting, not loving God like I should. Ms. Tripp, I've gone through the motions. I've done the mechanics. I've done the robotics. But I didn't have any heart to it. I didn't have any love attached to it. It wasn't springing out of my love for the Lord. It wasn't rooted and grounded in an appreciation and a gratitude for what the Lord's done for me. So that's why I say it's hard to measure sometimes. I mean, I can't look at you and see necessarily whether you love God or not. I know sometimes you say, man, that guy just has a joy about him. That lady just has a smile about her. There's something different about it. And I get that. That's evident sometimes. But sometimes they have bad days, all right? And there's sometimes it's hard to measure. It's hard to judge. It's hard to gauge. God, am I really doing all that I should? I mean, God, when I was playing ball, God, I knew whether I put in all that I had. I knew if I brought it that day. I knew if I was giving it my all. God, in school, I knew if I was working hard at something, I was really giving it my all. But God, sometimes it's hard to judge. So how do I do it? I'm glad Jesus gives us here in this passage some very practical and pinpointed ways for us to see and determine how much we truly love him. Listen, folks. Do you love him? Do you love him? That's the difference between people that quit and people that keep going. It is. That's the difference between someone that gets offended over whatever and rolls out, or someone that, even though maybe it was unjust what happened to them, they push that to the side and they realize, you know what? People will do me wrong, but God will never do me wrong. And my love for him is going to keep me going. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. You know what he's saying? When I'm laying in the mud and I don't feel like getting up and people are being mean and harsh to me, read about the Apostle Paul's life sometime. You'll find out what I'm talking about. He went through it. He went through it 100 times over what I'll ever go through. Thrown in jail, beaten. They stoned him one time and walked away, thought he was dead. Dude got up, went back into the same city a couple days later and preached to them. I'm like, Paul, you're nuts. You're crazy. I'll at least go to a different city. I'm not going back to the same jokers that just stoned me. I'm not talking about we got high. I'm talking about rocks. I'm done. I'm dead. Not doing that. I'm going somewhere else. Call me a wimp if you want to. All right? I don't care. At least I'm a live wimp. All right? But he went through it. He said, the love of Christ constrains me. He said, when I feel like I can't go on anymore, when I feel like I'm down and out and no one cares, when I feel like the ministry's not worth it anymore, he said, you know what keeps me going? The love of Christ constrains me. He didn't say his love for Christ, although that's very important. He says the love of Christ. The direction is on the receiving end in Paul's life. He's saying, when I look at all he's done for me, it keeps me going. So Jesus gives us some very practical, pinpointed ways that we can see and determine how much we truly love him. Hey, after all he's done, let's love him with our all. I want to love him with my all. I don't achieve it. I don't get close to it most of the time, but I want to love him with my all. I hope you do tonight. How do we get there? All right? How do we judge it? If I want to love God with my all, I mean, how can I tell? Maybe I worked in Sunday school this morning, or maybe I was on the bus route or the van route. Maybe I was out this week talking to people about the Lord. But as you said, Tom, just going through the motions doesn't cut it. So how can I know? How can I tell? How can I determine and gauge whether I'm loving him with my all or I'm just putting in my time? Let's see a couple things out of this passage tonight. On this message, let's love him with our all. Love him with your all, folks. Woodlawn, my challenge to you tonight is this. Love God with your all. Listen, after all he's done, that's what he deserves. That's what he deserves. Let's love him with our all. Number one, what you see in verse number 30? Let me read the entire verse and then I'll get to the first point here. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He's pulling out of Deuteronomy 6 called the Shema. Verse number 30, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first commandment. This scribe comes up to him. Let me just get this now. All throughout this chapter, the different groups that were against Christ were trying to trick him. They were asking him these tough questions and try to trick him into saying, slipping up and saying something that he shouldn't so that they could accuse him to the high priest, to the authorities, so forth. If you're ever trying to trick somebody, make sure you pick somebody that doesn't know everything, all right? That's just a pretty good rule of thumb. You can write that down. It'll help you, all right? But the Pharisees and the Herodians, they're trying to, as the Bible says, catch him in his words, and they give him these tough questions. And Jesus answered them, and it says they marveled at him. They said, whoa, all right? Sadducees show up. They don't believe in the resurrection. Therefore, they're sad. You see, I know you said it in your mind. I thought I would say it out loud, all right? But they come to Jesus, and they ask him another difficult question. And Jesus says, boys, you do greatly err. You're off track because you don't know the scriptures. By the way, when you don't know the scriptures, you get off track. Listen, if you want to be on the right track, get in the Bible. But he tells these Sadducees, he says, listen, you don't know the Bible. He continues on and answers their question. And again, he says, you therefore greatly err. And then this scribe shows up to him. This was a guy that wrote down the Old Testament, the law. But he comes with a little different slant. He's not trying to get Jesus into an argument. He's not trying to set a trap for Jesus, trying to trick him. I believe this guy's coming with a sincere heart. Hey, by the way, when you come to Jesus, come with a sincere heart. Come saying, Lord, I want to know you. I want to experience you, God. I want to see you do something in my life. Some people come to make trouble, man. Come and let God work in your life. Don't waste time. But this scribe comes up to him and he says, check this out, verse 28. One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well. He had been watching this whole scene go on. He said, boy, he shut them guys up, you know? Yeah. He said, man, he showed y'all. And then he says, Lord, what is the first commandment? Basically saying, what's the most important? The Jews has 613 commandments. Try that on for size. All right. Try that list in the morning. Okay, let me try to keep all 613. I'm not going to make it. But he says, what's the most important? I mean, where does it all converge, Lord? What's the most important here? And as I said, Jesus answers back from Deuteronomy 6. He says, you need to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In the past, I got thinking, what does that actually mean? We say it all the time. You need to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. What does it mean? What's it about? Number one, I want you to see this. You need to love God, number one, with your loyalty. With your loyalty. Verse number 30, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With all your heart. This, with all your heart, it portrays a single-minded devotion, a dedication only to one individual. Listen, you know what Jesus is saying? He's saying there should be no split in your love. There should be no division. There should be no sectioning off that, yeah, I love God this part of my life, but I have another part that we'll not talk about right now. He's saying, no, that doesn't work. He said, I want all your heart. I want some loyalty. No division, no sectioning off, no portion, no rivals in your life. Listen, folks, do you have some loyalty in your love for God? Listen, this may cut close. I don't know. But you know what? I want to love God more. And I want to love God with my all. And I hope you want to love him with your all. So I'm just going to let it fly. And I'm just going to give you what the Bible says. Do you love him with your loyalty? Do you have some loyalty in your love? I'll be honest with you. In 2014, with a lot of Christians that I see, loyalty is sadly missing. Nobody has any loyalty. Some little nitpicky, piddly thing shows up and we roll on God. How dare the pastor says that? Listen, the pastor prays for you every day. Amen. Pastor cares about you. Amen. Listen, if he says something every once in a while you don't necessarily like too well, or doesn't sit too well with you, if it comes out of the Bible, shut your mouth. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Do you love God with some loyalty? We don't have loyalty nowadays. We come to youth conference and God shows up and we say, God, I'm going to give you my all. Then 2 days later, we take all our decisions and we flush them down the toilet. You know that's the truth. And I do it too. He says, listen, love me with some loyalty. I'm talking about all your heart. Folks, do we love him with all our heart? Woodlawn, do we love him with all our heart tonight? God's saying there should be no competitors here. Listen, in Exodus chapter 20, when the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, I think a lot of times we get a misconception about that verse because he's saying, no other gods before me. You know what we think? All right, God's right here. As long as I don't have anybody in front of him, ahead of him, then I'm good. You know what it means in the Hebrew? No other gods in the picture. No other gods in the picture. Listen, God didn't say that he needs to be number one and then you can have your other gods on down the list. No. No. He should be the only God on the scene. He should be the only God in the picture is what he's saying. There should be no competitors. Listen, folks, and it's hard to love God nowadays because you know what? Chances and opportunities to sin and to stray are everywhere around us. Everywhere around us. And by the way, You can't love God and love the world at the same time. You got to pick one. And we try to play the fence, and we try to roll into church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and put on our little religious show. But then the rest of the week, I wonder where our love resides. I wonder where our love resides. I wonder what kind of TV shows we watch. Oh, he's going to preach against TV. No, I'm not. I watch TV. I love TV, all right? Yes, sir. Brother Kenny says, I'm not going to, Brother Kenny says this, I don't have this, but he says, I'm not going to preach against TV. He's like, I got eight of them in my house. I'm like, that'll work. That'll work. I don't have that. I got about two, but that'll work, you know? Listen, but I wonder what kind of stuff we watch. I wonder what we allow. Listen, I was preaching to the kids on the bus today who were not listening at all, but that's all right. At least I got something from them, I guess. Listen, but I was teaching the kids today on the bus and saying, listen, God has given us everything that we have. Bible says you need to yield your members unto God, your body parts, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your feet, your mind, everything you have. He's given it to you. How dare we take the things that God has given to us and say, God, forget about you. I'm going to do what I want. Whew, if I was God, I'd take them out real quick. But I'm not, okay? But folks, listen, God has given you those things. I wonder if you have any competitors for your loyalty during the week. Listen, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He's not saved? No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that if you love the world, you're not going to be loving God at the same time. It's one or the other. Christians, we can do that too. We're not exempt from that. You can't love both at the same time. You know what the Bible says? Ye that love the Lord, what does it say? Hate evil. If I truly love God like I should, there's going to be some things that I hate. You know why? Because they pull me away from God. You know why? Because they pull people away from God. And they destroy lives. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It destroys lives. Listen, if I love God like I should, there's going to be some things that I hate. That's not preached very much nowadays, but it's in the Bible. Listen, the Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. I'm not preaching about the world tonight. I'm just saying, how's your love? How's your loyalty? Because, listen, it does us absolutely no bit of good to come here every week and run through our little Christian routine and then go back to our own lives and we forget about God the rest of the week. That does you no good, folks. I hope you realize that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Listen, if you're trying to play that fence your whole life, you're never going to accomplish anything on either side. You can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, hold to the one and despise the other. Listen, not only should there be no competitors, I'm talking about your loyalty. Listen, is your heart split tonight? Your love for God. He says, I want all your heart, every bit of it. Is there a split? Is there a division? Is there a part of your life that you don't love God fully in? There should be no competitors. There should be no comparison. No comparison. Think about this. In the book of Luke, I was preaching about it this morning. Jesus said, he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, he cannot be my disciple. And we think, what in the world is he talking about? Jesus was having a bad day that day. You know, what's he talking about? He lost it, you know? No. You know what he's saying? Our love for God should so far exceed and surpass and just blow away every other love we have in our life. There's no comparison. Do we have that? Do we have that tonight? Do we have it? Because I wonder if people can tell where your love resides. I wonder if people on your job can tell where your love resides. I wonder if people in your family can tell where your love resides. When you get home, it all comes out, right? The true you settles in. I wonder if people around you, your close friends, if they know what you're all about. Where does your love reside? That's what I'm asking you tonight. There should be no competitors. It shouldn't even be close. It shouldn't even be close. It should be surpassing, exceeding, far and away, beyond. And by the way, he's not saying that you hate your mom or dad or brother or sister or whatever. He's just saying your love for them should be nothing in comparison to your love for God. It should blow it away.
There should be no competitors, no comparison. Listen, we should be completely His. You hear? Don't turn me off.
He's going to preach long tonight. I don't know how long I'm going to preach tonight. I don't. You don't either. All right?
The Lord does, okay? But listen, we need to hear this stuff tonight. I need to hear this stuff tonight. Listen, we should be completely His. You know what it said about Caleb in Joshua 14? It said, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Wait. Not holy, H-O-L-Y. W-H-O-L-L-Y. You know what it's saying? Entirely. Completely. There was no part of his life that he left out. There was no part of his life that was sectioned off for something else. It said, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. I want that in my life. I always thought it was weird, Brother Bill, when we were in junior boys and we run through the Ten Commandments. You know, we get to that part where all the bees go off. You know what I'm talking about, all that. And we get to that part, for I, the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God. I'm always like, I'm a little kid in there, but I'm like, what? God's jealous? Isn't that a bad thing? You know, I'm like, I don't know. Why is God jealous? You realize that's not the only time the Bible says that God is jealous? I did a study on this last year. 27 times it alludes to God being a jealous God. Oh, boy. Wow, we got a problem there. No problem. You know what it's saying? It's saying he wants all of you. He desires all of you. Listen. He's not pleased when you give him part. Sorry to burst your bubble, but there it goes. All right? He's not pleased when you give him a section. He's not pleased when you say, God, you can have that part of the week or that part of my life, or God, I surrender all of this, but not all of that. God's not pleased. He's not satisfied. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. You know what? This loyalty, if you truly have it, there should be no competitors, no comparison. You should be completely His. And it should continue over time. Listen, if you're truly loyal, that should last. There should be some duration with that. There should be, you know what, 2014 passes by, we get into 15, he's still living for God. We get into 16, Tut, she's still living for God. 17, 18, and we go through the years, and they're still living for God. That's what it's about, folks. That's what I want. There should be some duration. There should be some determination. Listen, not should we just be here.
Well, I've been in church, you know, a long time now. What have you been doing for God? Not much, but I've been here.
That's not cutting it. There needs to be some determination. Listen, I wish this wasn't the case, but there's going to be some times, even for a good Christian, that you get kicked down and that you go through some struggles, that you go through some hardship, and there's some suffering and there's some hurt that you go through. But you know what? I better have some determination. A just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. I want that. As I mentioned earlier, Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. It compels me to keep on going. I can't quit on God. Listen. When you quit on your bus route, you're not quitting on Shank. You're not quitting on Pastor. You're not quitting on the deacon board. You're not quitting on Woodlawn. You're quitting on God. And I'm not trying to be harsh, but I'm telling you the straight up truth. When you quit on that Sunday school class, you're not rejecting Brother Bill. You're rejecting him. I don't want to do that. Listen, that doesn't mean for the rest of your life you have to be in the same ministry doing the same thing every week. If God moves you, that's fine. But the problem is God doesn't move us most of the time. We move ourselves. There needs to be some loyalty. Hey, and check this out. There should be some duration. There should be some determination. And it's also a diagnostic thing. You say, diagnostic? What are you talking about? Any sin problem, any problem that shows up in your life spiritually, check your love. Brother Kenny, who knows much more than I do, says every spiritual problem is a love problem. Amen. You skipping church every once in a while? Or you don't care why you're in church? Check your love. You're going out soul winning, but your heart's not into it? Check your love. You skip your Bible reading every once in a while, or maybe not so every once in a while, it's starting to be more prevalent? Check your love. You're starting to really dread and just drag through the service and the living for God things that you have to do. Check your love. Folks, every problem in the Christian life is a love problem. You need to love Him with your loyalty. Number two, some life to it. Check out verse number 30 again. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So he wants some loyalty. God doesn't want just part of it, some of it, most of it. He wants all of it. He wants some loyalty. How loyal are you? Number two, he says, with all thy soul. And we think, well, what is the soul? It's who you are represented on the inside. It's your mind, your emotions, your will. I know when I bring up emotions, we think, oh boy, whoa. Can we say that in church? You know, we're not charismatic, Tom. You realize that? Yeah, I realize that. Yeah, we don't talk about emotions. Listen, humans have emotions, okay? And you can use those for God. Now, if you go crazy with it, then go down to charismatic church and you'll fit right in, all right? Because sad to say, a lot of them, that's what they're doing. But listen, he says, love God with all your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will. And he talks about the mind later on, so he's probably not referring to that. The emotions, the will. Love God with some life to it. You say, Tom, what are you talking about? I'm talking about with some excitement. I'm talking about with some fervor, with some zeal, with some life. Listen, it's the opposite of the dead, dry, dragging routine that we go through. Listen, if that's the way we're serving God, we're not cutting it. It doesn't fly. He says, I want you to love me with all your heart, with some loyalty. I want you to love me with all your soul, with some life to it. Listen. When you serve God, there should be some passion coming out of you. There should be some excitement coming out of you. There should be some zeal coming out of you. Listen, I get to serve God. I don't have to. This is not some 9-to-5. This is I get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The only reason that I'm breathing right now and I get to serve him. You realize you don't deserve that? I don't deserve that. Sometimes I sit back to it and I'm not anything special, but I think I get to preach for God. I get to stand up and tell people what God says. What am I doing, right? I don't fit there. Listen, but let's love God with some life to it. Love God with all your soul. He says with some excitement, with some fervor, with some zeal, with some life. Listen, it shouldn't be when it's soul winning time. And listen, teenagers, they're going to hit you upside the head right now. Listen, it shouldn't be that we drag to do it. All right, Brother Tripp, let's go hit another neighborhood. Are we going to Bojangles later? Come on. You're like, don't get in my Bojangles. I just got there, all right? It's bow time, right? Listen. Y'all like, how are you going to make us laugh? Then tell us to listen. Sorry, that's what I do, all right? Listen, I hope you don't go with Brother Tripp Thursday nights for the food. Although that is some good food, I got to say. But you better show up and say, God, I want to serve you with some life to it. God, I want to go reach some people that are on their way to hell. God, I want to go find some people that need some help. And go help them. Go make a difference. Listen, let's love God with some life to it. Listen, if we want to love him with our all, that includes our loyalty and having some life to it. Listen, there should be some passion when we serve God. Check this out. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Sorry, Brother Bob. Sorry, I had to call you out. My bad. Strike that from the record, right? Listen. Serve the Lord with gladness, in case you didn't know, right? Serve the Lord with gladness. There should be some passion that comes out of you. There should be some passion that comes out of you. Listen. I threw him under the bus, so I might as well pull him out from under the bus. Listen, that man has some passion. That man's got passion going everywhere, all right? Most of us don't. We're like, what is he doing, you know? You know you thought that, right? Listen, have some passion when you serve God. Serve the Lord with gladness. You get to. The Bible says, 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Let's have some life to it with all your soul. Let's be pumped up when we do it. You know why? Because it's a privilege. I realize it's a privilege that I get to serve God. Listen, you get to give out a tract. That's a privilege. You get to witness to somebody and have them have the opportunity to pass from death unto life. That's a privilege. You get to talk about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who laid down his life for us. That's a privilege. If you get to teach in a Sunday school class, that's a privilege. You get to work on a bus route, that's a privilege. I know it gets hard sometimes, but it's a privilege. Don't lose that perspective. Don't let it become a burden to you. I know it does for us sometimes. It does. It gets hard. You have bad days. But listen, your love for God will push you through that if it's where it should be. Love him with your loyalty. Love him with some life to it. Listen, you know what John the Baptist said, John 1:27? He said, talking about Jesus, he it is before me who is preferred before me. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. Get this. Whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. You know what he's saying? In essence, I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. I know it says untie, all right? But that was the lowest job of the lowest servant in the house. The master comes home, take my shoes off, boy. That was the lowest servant's job. You know what John the Baptist said? I'm not even worthy to do that. I'm not worthy to tie his shoes, and you get to serve God. And some of us, round up again? Didn't we just pass it like a few months ago? You know? Didn't we just have a campaign? Oh, my goodness. Pastor's going to kill us. Listen. You're doing it for him. You're doing it for him. Listen, love God with some loyalty. Love God with some life to it. That verse after that in Psalm 100, after it says, serve the Lord with gladness, the next verse says, for the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know what it's saying? The verse before that says, serve the Lord with gladness. The next verse is saying, this is why. He's God. He's supreme. He's high and lifted up. And you get the opportunity. That's why you should serve him with a smile on your face. That's why. Listen, serve God or love God with some loyalty. Love God with your all. Love God with some loyalty. Love God with some life to it. Number three, love God with your learning. With your learning. The Bible says in verse number 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, loyalty, with all thy soul, some life to it. Listen, have some life to when you serve God. We shouldn't have to fake it till we make it, if you know what I'm talking about. We shouldn't have to paste a smile on. You do sometimes, but it shouldn't be all the time. You should have some life to it. And then number three, love God with your learning. He says, with all thy mind. How in the world you love God with all your mind? You know, he's talking about mental effort. Now, where do we come across this? I believe it's in reference to this book. In reference to this book. You know how you love God with all your mind? Caring about this book. Mental effort. You're engaged. You're locked in. You're focused. You're soaking it in. Listen, are you locked in right now? How about tomorrow when you're reading your Bible? Are you locked into it? Are you thinking, man, I got to do this today, and I got to get here and go there? I understand things get busy, but listen, lock it in when you open up the Word of God. You know why? That's not the Word of man. That's the Word of God that we get to read. Love God with all your learning, some mental effort. Listen, when we open the Bible, listen. Let's not be dull. Let's not be dense. Let's not be disinterested in it. Listen, this is not a, when I say dense, I'm not talking about a person's not intelligent. The problem with a lot of people we deal with, it's not that they're not intelligent. It's just they don't have an interest. I mean, they got it going on upstairs. They just don't use it in the right way. It's not that they're dumb. It's not that they can't understand it. It's just they don't want to. Listen, he's saying, let's not be like that. Listen. Sometimes, and I'm not going to call anybody out, but there's sometimes when, man, I'm preaching to people or teaching to people, and I've done it too, but I'm saying, fellas, Jesus is God. What did I just say? Can you give me a hint? Tut, can I get a witness, man? Right? It's like that sometimes. You're like, guys, come on. Like Gru says, light bulb. You know, we need something to go on right here. Help us, Lord. Send the rain. Send something. Because I need some help. Listen, let's not be like that. How many times have you walked out of church and the person next to you, man, that was a good sermon. You're like, oh, it was? I didn't notice. Yeah. Where are you, space cadet? Come on, wake up. When you're in church, get your mind focused. Get locked in. God's given you something from his word that you're going to need. Listen, folks, 4 days. Listen. 4 days, years ago, almost 6 years ago, 4 days before my father passed away, I opened up the book of Job, and God was speaking to my heart like never before out of that book. You know, I came to the decision 4 days before my daddy died. And I said, I asked myself this question. If I had to go through what Job went through, would I still love God and serve him? And I said, God, I don't know if I would or not, but I want to. Amen. Oh, my goodness. God was preparing me. I didn't know what was going to happen 4 days later. But I'm glad he prepared me. Amen. Listen, if you're not in your Bible, the devil's throwing things left and right at you, and you have no clue. You have no clue. Love God with your learning. Listen, use your mind to comprehend the Bible, to grasp it, to get a hold of it, to apprehend it, if you will. Listen, the Bible says, open now mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. God, open up my eyes. God, shake me out of this, snap me out of this, God, so that I can see what your word has to say, because there's wondrous things in it that I need. He said, open my eyes. In the book of Luke, he says, then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's what we need. Listen, if you don't understand the Bible sometimes, why don't you stop and pray and say, God, I need something from this. God, this is your living word. God, you said I can't just live by bread alone, food alone, but God, I need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God, I need something from it. Why is it dry? Why am I not getting anything? And stay in it and stay in it, and God will give you something. Listen, use your mind to comprehend the Bible, to apprehend it. Listen, use your mind to apply the Bible and to change your life. Listen, use your mind. Listen, instead of thinking about, you know, how we can slack on our job, or how we can slide by, or how we can avoid the people that we don't like, listen, why don't we use our mind for something productive, constructive? Why don't you sit around trying to figure out what the Bible says and what it means? Why don't you sit around thinking about, after you learn what it means, man, how can I fit that into my life? How can I incorporate that into my life? Where can I step it up? Where can I improve? We haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. We can all do better. Why don't we look around and say, God, where can I get better? God, after what you've taught me today, after what you've given to me today, God, where can I step it up? Folks, are we thinking like that? A lot of times we don't. We go about our merry way, and we never consider what God's trying to tell us. That's a shame. Let's apply it. Let's change it. You know, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. By the way, the world's trying to press you into its mold. The world doesn't want you to stick out. The world doesn't want you to be different. It's trying to press you and conform you to its image. But you know what the Bible says? Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You know how you do that? Getting in the Bible. And I get rid of all those old thoughts, those sinful thoughts, those dirty thoughts, and I get in and I say, God, I see how holy you are and how righteous you are and how good you are. God, I want to be like you. How can I do it? Renew your mind, and you can be transformed. Brother Caleb said that's the same word as when Jesus was transfigured. Whew. Wow. Listen, you want God's light to start shining through your life? Why don't you say, God, renew my mind. God, help me to see where I can fit these things in my life and change. Listen, you hear a sermon on prayer. Why don't you get a prayer list? Yeah, you hear a sermon on soul winning. Why don't you put some tracts in your pocket? And don't just leave them there. Give them to some sinners. Listen, you hear a sermon on loving God. Why don't you say, how can I love God more? What can I do? What influences do I need to get rid of so I can love God more? That's what we need to be about. Apply it to your life. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. Folks, a lot of times we just soak it in. Good message tonight. Thanks, appreciate it. Days later, as SpongeBob says, 3 days later. All right? You say, you watch it? Not really. All right? Something. Listen. 3 days later, what changes have we made? You know, most of the time, Nothing. And pardon me for saying this, but maybe it wouldn't have mattered whether we heard that message or not, because our lives don't show any difference. I know you say, that's touchy, Tom. I know. But how is your life being changed by what God's teaching you? Are you applying it? Are you changing? Listen, you know, by the way, you know those that get a lot from the Bible? I'm almost done, but those that get a lot from the Bible, it's those people that appreciate it and cherish it. You know why you don't get a lot out of the Bible? Because you don't think it's all that. You read the Bible, yeah, whatever. I don't understand anything here. Why don't you lock it in and say, God, this is your word. God is perfect. It's true. People can't find fault in it. There's no errors in it. There's no contradictions in it. God, this is my roadmap for life. God, give me something. If you, listen, if you have the Bible as a high standing in your life, when you open it up, you'll get some good stuff out of it. You know why? Because you'll appreciate what it says. You'll appreciate what it says. Illustration of that. If there's somebody you don't like a whole lot and they say something, even if it's good, most of the time we down it. You know, they say something that sounds good. You're like, nah, I'm not going to listen to that. Somebody you like, somebody that's good, they say something that's ordinary. I mean, nothing. You're like, wow, man, that's awesome. How did you say? Why? Because they have a higher position in your life. You respect their opinion. Other person, you don't. Listen, let's respect what God has to say. Let's appreciate it. Let's cherish it. Listen, Job said, I esteem his word more than my necessary food. He said, I care more about the word of God than not just the snacks and the side stuff. I'm talking about the stuff that I need to survive, the food that I need to survive. Whew. I don't think any of us is to that point. You're like, we might be, Tom, if you don't hurry up. I know. Listen, the Bible says, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You know the word esteem, it means highly regard. I highly regard. The Bible says that God exalts his word above his name. Whew. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Listen. You want to know how you get this thing working in your life, have success, have a prosperous life? This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. You know what he's saying? Joshua, talk about it. Talk about it. Hey, Woodlawn, there should be nothing wrong with us talking about the Bible every once in a while. We talk about all kind of other stuff. Let's talk about the Bible. Teenagers, it's not awkward when we talk about the Bible.
Are you going to preach a sermon to me?
Yeah, I might, because you need it, bucko. You know?
You don't have to do all that. I'll do that. But listen.
There's nothing weird about talking about the Bible, saying, hey, what does that mean? Or, hey, how do you guys think we can live this out? You know how it is, young people. We start talking stuff like that, and everybody's like,
nobody breathe.
You know, come on now. We're in the house of God. There should be nothing wrong with talking about the Bible, talking about the Christian life. Adults, same thing. Sometimes we talk about our jobs and our families and this and that and sports and whatever. How about the Word of God? Oh, that's a little more important than all the rest of it.
You probably did see the games today. All right, this is more important. My team too, I know.
Listen, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. This guy enjoys it. Listen, back to Joshua, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You'll meditate in it day and night. How much do you think about the Bible? And by the way, you don't just meditate so you can get a lot of knowledge and facts, and you can win Bible trivia every year when we play it, you know?
We're going to blow those guys out of the water. Booyah!
No, it's not about that. You know what it's about? Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know why we meditate? So we can figure out all that it says. We figure out all that it says so that we can obey all that it says. That's why. And when you do that, then, and only then, you'll be prosperous and you'll have good success in your life. You know why? Because we appreciate it. We realize that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what I realized when I opened the Word of God? And I have to remind myself of this. This is God-breathed. This came out of God's mouth. And it's profitable. Listen, even if you're reading something you don't even understand, it's profitable. It's profitable. It'll help you out. It'll give you doctrine. That's what's right. It'll give you reproof. That's when it calls you out. When you're off track and the Bible calls you out,
well, I don't like it. I put it down then. Yeah, that's why you haven't changed.
It gives me doctrine. That's what's right. It gives me reproof. It calls me out when I'm in sin. But it doesn't just leave me over there. It corrects me. It gives me the instructions how to get back on the road, the directions how to get back in line, and then instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right and how to help other people. That's how it helps you. And it's all that you need. Everything you need is in the Bible. It's sufficient. Listen. That the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Every good work that God wants you to do is talked about in the Bible. And listen, when you fall in love in the Bible, you fall in love with its author. You know why? Because they are they, Jesus said, which testify of me. Listen, when you get close to the Bible, you get close to God.
Hey, how about this? Let's use our minds to comprehend the Bible. Let's use our minds to change our lives and apply it. Let's use our minds to cherish and appreciate the Bible. How about this, though? Let's use our minds to aid and comfort other people. How do I do that? Let's help other people with the Bible. I tell my guys this in the class all the time. Let's help other people with the Bible. What do you mean? Well, if somebody doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, the Bible has the answers. Let's go, listen. Let's go find out the answers so we can go help somebody with it. Hey, teenager, do you know the answers? I remember sitting in that bench right there next to my mom. My dad would say, if someone came up to you and asked you if you could show them how to get to heaven, what would you do? And I was 11, 12, 13, tutting. I didn't like that. Dad, tell a flying story. Tell a baseball story. You know why? Because I didn't know how to witness to somebody, and I felt ashamed of that. That's what's called conviction. But you know what? I just needed to learn. And when I turned 13, I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. Amen. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to do it. Amen. And you jump in somewhere, and God teaches you, and he shows you, and he helps you. Amen. That's how it works. But listen, teenager, do you know if someone out of the blue, I know this never happens, but if somebody out of the blue came up to you and said, hey, don't you go to a church or something? Man, can you show me how to go to heaven? Would you be getting your phone out? Let me call Pastor real quick. Let me call Brother Tut real quick. We need to know. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We need to know it for ourselves. Do you know enough to help somebody else with the Bible? Listen, maybe somebody's confused about a decision or a direction in their life. Hey, do you know enough about the Bible so you can go over to them and say, hey, man, in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. You got to keep checking with him. You got to keep reading. You got to keep praying. Listen, we should know enough about the Bible so we can help other people. We should use our minds to figure out what it's saying. We should use our minds to apply it to our lives and to fit it into our schedule. We should use our minds to cherish it and appreciate it, but we should use our minds to help and aid other people. Listen, if somebody comes up to you and they think, man, there's no hope for me. Maybe a young guy, man, there's no hope for me. The Bible says, listen, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I love this verse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Listen, young man, if you're off track, if you messed your life up, you know where you need to go to get the answers. Get yourself on track right here. Wherewithal, where in the world shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen. I'm glad about that. Listen, maybe somebody says, man, God could never use me. Why don't you bring up the church at Corinth when they said, such were some of you. That you used to be jacked up. You used to be messed up. You used to be all those things that are listed out in the verses prior to that. But such were some of you. God did something with you. He changed you. He made you a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Listen, some people don't realize that there's hope for them. Let's go tell them. Let's go help them with the Bible. Listen, some people think that nobody loves them. We need to be able to tell them and show them from the Bible. Jesus loves you. If you were the only person on the face of the earth, Jesus would have still took everything that he took for you. They need to hear that from us. Listen, pastor can't do that to everybody. I can't do that to everybody. Brother Bob can't do that to everybody. There's people you know that I'll never meet. Do you know your Bible enough to go help somebody? Listen, some people go through a situation and they think, man, no good could ever come from that. You need to share with them from the Bible. Listen, my God can work all things together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Listen, Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good. We need to tell people this. We need to know the Bible so we can help people. Some people think, man, I'm just going to fall. A lot of teenagers believe that. There's no hope for me, man. It's too tough out there. Listen, the Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape so that you can bear it, so you can get through it. People need to hear that. And by the way, if you're struggling with something, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against thee. Listen, if you're struggling with a particular area in your life, start memorizing some verses on that subject. It'll help you. When you get tempted, start quoting them things. It'll help you so that you won't sin against God. Listen, and some people, listen, maybe even in this room, they're thinking about throwing in the towel. They're thinking about quitting. They're thinking about giving it up. You know what you need to go to them? Show them out of the Bible. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hey, buddy, don't forget about heaven. Don't forget about the rewards. Don't forget about the streets of gold. Don't forget about the people that you're going to reach that no one else will reach. Let's not be weary. Let's not quit. Let's not get faint.
Because there's a day of reaping that we're going to get. Listen, we need to go to our brothers and sisters in Christ and tell them we need to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. People need to hear that. And number four, and lastly, this one will be quick. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, your loyalty, your soul with some life to it, with your mind with some learning. And then the last one, with all thy strength. Number four, love God with your labor. All right, we talked about your learning, the mental effort to try to learn what the Bible says and apply it and help other people. But let's love God with all of our labor. You know what that is? Physical effort. Physical effort. That's talking about energy expended. That's talking about energy that's spent serving God. Listen, you know where this shows up? Listen, it's not rigorous for you to read your Bible, right? You don't read for 45 minutes and, whew, I took a lot out of it. No. It doesn't work like that. But you know when it does show up? When you're serving God, when you're soul winning. Whew. I could tell you story after story of me and Jeff out there in Langley Park years ago. And I'm looking for people to give tracts to. Brother Bob, I see a kid way up there. And I'm talking about, you know, way up there. I need a camera like Cops, you know. That's what I need, you know. And you get dizzy watching the TV. You're like, oh, turn the channel, man. I can't take this. All right? Chase them down. You know what? I run all this way or I walk all this way. And Daniel, right before I get up to them, they go in the door in the apartment. I go up, locked. And I turn around with my head down. And as soon as I look up, God's brought somebody out of nowhere for me to witness to. That's loving God with your labor. That's putting forth the extra effort. That's going the extra mile. Listen, folks, we need to be about this. Listen, this, I'm talking about when you're serving God, you're active, you're involved. Proverbs says this. I need to turn over there. I can't quote it right now. Actually, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know what? Amen. Listen. You need to commit some of your works to the Lord. Amen. What does that mean? You need to rearrange your schedule. Amen. Commit your works unto the Lord. Listen, when's the last time you said, Brother Bill, you can count on me to be there to do this? Amen. By the way, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but not just for Roundup. Yep. Oh, boy. Listen, we don't just need people working hard on Roundup. You realize people go to hell 365 days a year. Amen. Listen, I'm not trying to get on anybody's feelings right now. I'm just saying we need people all the time. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Listen, you put God first, God will give you the help you need. God will give you some ideas. He'll give you some vision. Rearrange your schedule. Get some responsibility. You know what keeps me accountable a lot of times? Responsibility. Because it's late on a Saturday night, and I'm dead tired. Been out visiting, been out working hard, and I got nothing to give the guys the next morning. Tut.
I see that smile. We both been there, right? We need to talk about this, man. Counsel each other, right?
And it's getting late. It's 11, 11:30, 12, 12:30, 1 o'clock. I got nothing. Okay, guys, let's talk about Adam and Eve. No. I got to have something from God. What am I supposed to do? It keeps me accountable because I have that responsibility. If I don't show up with something from God on my back, nobody will. And I'm not saying I'm anything big. I'm just saying, listen, I have that responsibility. I don't want to let those guys down. Listen, do you have responsibility? Have you inconvenienced yourself to serve God? Have you rearranged your schedule and said, you know what? These people, JT, if I don't pick them up, nobody will. If I don't teach to them, nobody will. If I don't preach to them, nobody will. If I don't set the example, nobody will. I might as well do it. Rearrange your schedule. Get some responsibility, and how about this? Be reliable. We have people that have all this responsibility, and every 2 seconds they're running out the back door. Oh, something just came up. No, it didn't. Maybe sometimes, but not as many times as you running out that door. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Listen, be reliable. I want to be faithful and reliable. People can count on me. And resolve to give God your best. Commit your works to the Lord, and all your thoughts shall be established. A couple things. Let's ramp up our service for God. Hey, love God with your labor. Let's get to work. Love God with your labor. Ramp it up. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. Listen, everything you give to God, it's never a waste. It's never a waste. You won't regret it. Listen, let's be always abounding. You know what that means? We should always be growing in our service for God. We should always be growing. You won't regret it. And there'll be some rewards. There'll be some rewards. Listen, as I quoted earlier, let's not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen, you stay in there. Listen, by the way, some of us think, well, you know, as soon as I get a big class, then I'm going to turn it on. Then I'm going to bring my A game. Listen, if you can't live for God and give it your best when you got 5 in your class, when you have 50, you're still going to be sorry. Amen. Listen, if you can't love those 10 kids on your van route, when you get 100, you're still not going to love them. I'm telling you the truth. Listen, let's make the best of whatever situation we have. If they're bad kids, try to love on them. Try to do your best. Try not to get too mad at them, all right? Try to hold back. Ramp it up. Let's give God our best. Listen, when's the last time you expended energy? When's the last time you expanded your responsibility? When's the last time, some of you bus workers are going to say amen to this, you exposed yourself to some unfriendly elements outside to serve God? You get out there when it's hot. And every bus worker knows when you're on a bus, it's not just 95, it's about 110 because you're in like this little oven called a bus, all right? Whew. You're cooking in there. All the kids, Brother Tom, you're sweating. Oh, that's what that is? I was wondering, you know. I had no clue. Water was coming out of there. I didn't know. Thanks. My goodness. Listen, have you exposed yourself to that? Cold's coming. You going to quit on God? Well, you know, my arthritis is. Come on, let's serve God. Let's serve God. I'm not trying to belittle anybody's problems. I'm just saying let's serve God. Let's put him first. Think about, listen, I'm not saying you do something that's going to hurt you physically. I'm not saying that. But listen, think about what all he took for you. Can't you go through some rough stuff for him sometimes? I'm not saying we volunteer for it. But I'm saying when it comes our way, let's tough it out. There will be a reward. And you know what? You know why we do it all? You know why we love God with all our loyalty and we love God with some life to it? You know why we love God with our learning, our mind? You know why we love God with our strength, our labor? Because we're trying to repay for all that he's done. We'll never reach it, but we're trying to give back a portion of all that he's done for us. The Bible says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What in the world can I give back after all that God's done for me? And as I mentioned at the opening of the message, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Hey, folks, that's the motivation you need. That's the driving force you need. Listen, as Josh was praying, let's not just ramp up for Roundup and then whew, back to cruise control. Listen, let's serve God the best we can all the time. All the time. Campaign or no campaign. Why? Because I want to love God with my all. I want to love him with some loyalty. I don't want to quit on him when things get tough. I want to love him with some life to it. I want to love him with some learning. And I want to love him with some labor. Let's love God with our all. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, God, help us. God, we fall so short. All of us, God. God, help us to love you with everything that we have. All our heart and all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. Everything we have, God. Please, God, you're worthy of that and more. I pray that, God, you would speak to your people tonight, God. And, God, I don't want to push them and slant them in a certain direction. God, I want you to speak to their hearts. And God, you impress on their hearts what they need to do. And God, help them to respond to it. Help them to be obedient to it. Whatever you're telling them to do right now, help them to follow through with it. Help us to love you with some loyalty. Help us to love you with some life to it. God, help us not to be dragging around when we have to serve you. Help us to serve you with gladness. God, help us to love you with our learning. When we open up the Bible tomorrow, God, help us to care about it, to appreciate it, to try to figure out what it's saying with your help. And God, help us to love you with our labor. Let's get to work with all our strength. Let's exert some physical effort to lift you up. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come and do business with him tonight?